Well, good morning. Welcome, Bridge City Church. For those of you, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Eric. I typically attend our Murraysville campus, and actually been sharing with some of the team here. This is my first Sunday here at North Braddock, even though I've been a part of the church for many years now, but so glad to be here with you this morning. And love worship. I could have just kept going for another 30, 40 minutes, a couple hours. You know, we don't need to get to the word. We'll just worship. But I do have a word for you that I believe is from God, that he wants to speak to each and every one of us. And before I do that, I do want to just mention Pastor John and Christine are actually in Arizona. They're coming back soon this week. And I'm just so thankful for them and what they've been doing, how God's been using them right in this area, in this community. And we can honor Pastor John and Christine and the whole team here at North Braddock. But it is Memorial Day weekend, and I do want to take this moment just to recognize those who are if you know of somebody who's served in the military, or you have family members. I personally am not a veteran, but many of my family is. My brothers, uncles, grandfather, many of the men in my family have served in the armed forces. And I just want to recognize, if there's anybody here, you've served in the military, the armed forces, if you could just stand to your feet. Anybody who has a family member, thank you. Anybody who has a family member who has served, if you could just stand. Thank you, because we know it's not just those who are overseas, it's not just those who are enlisted in war, it's the families that are here as well that sacrifice as well. But we do remember today's, in this weekend, is Memorial Day weekend, for those who've paid it all, those who have served and sacrificed, who have given their lives so that we could have the freedoms that we have. You know, Memorial Day marks the beginning of summer. It marks usually cookouts, hangouts, fun. We love it when the weather's nice, but how we can do all of that is only because of the sacrifice of those who've gone before us. We all know freedom isn't free, right? There's a high cost, and, you know, to be able to have all the freedoms we have today are because of those who've gone before us. And I pray that we wouldn't forget that. We wouldn't take it for granted. But as we're cooking out, as we're hanging out with the family, the kids, and doing whatever it is we're doing this weekend, let's remember those who have served and gave their lives before us. Amen. Well, if you see this shirt I'm wearing, it's not typical attire for somebody preaching, but I was given this, and I was recently in Honduras on a mission trip. And in March, I took a team of people from Bridge City, but also we worked with people from Buffalo, Canada, Guatemala, and Honduras to do a mission trip where we got to serve the people in the rural mountains called Montaña de la Flor, and got to serve in a tremendous way. See, saw dozens of people respond to the gospel. Got to see a lot of amazing things God did. But what's interesting, on the way down there, I catch a flight from Pittsburgh to Miami. I get on the plane in Miami, and as I'm getting on with a team of a couple guys from Bridge City Church, I sit by the window. And the guy had to scoot past. He was already in the middle seat. He goes, "Hey, are you guys soldiers?" And I said, "No, like, why do you ask?" It seems like a weird question to ask. I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, you guys just look like soldiers." I said, "Actually, we're part of a church doing a mission trip," and it kind of caught me off guard a little bit, but we ended up talking, and I love plane ministry. That's what I call it. You got somebody sitting next to you for like 3 hours. They're stuck, so I just talk about Jesus, right? And I don't force them, but I ask a lot of questions. So I started talking to this guy. "Hey, what's your name? Where are you from? What's going on?" His name's Anthony. He's from Manhattan. Originally grew up in Honduras, and he said about 8 years ago, he moved to New York. And I said, "Well, how's your life been?" And he started sharing all his deep, dark secrets of his life, all the stuff that he's been doing the last 8 years. And he shared with me, he goes, "You know what hurts the most?" He goes, "My grandmother, my parents raised me to be a Christian. They read the Bible to me every single day. Yet as soon as I moved away, I started living differently." He showed me his 5 cell phones for various reasons. He didn't get into all the details, but he just starts confessing sins to me, starts confessing to me. I say, "You know, the good news is God can take you back. He wants to take you back." And before we land, he's crying. We're praying together. He prays, asks God to forgive him, for God to help him live right, and rededicates his life to Christ. We exchange phone numbers, and we've stayed in touch a little bit since then. But after that, he goes, "Hey, you remember the question I asked you when you first got on the plane?" And I was like, at this point, I'm like, "No, not really." He goes, "I asked if you're soldiers." He goes, "You are soldiers. You're soldiers for God." And, you know, even if we don't serve in the military or the U.S. Army, we are all called to be serving in God's army. And that's the title of the message, is Embracing the Call. It's embracing the call to be soldiers in God's army. Because I believe every single one of us, to a different level, to a different degree, are all called to serve as soldiers. And we get there, and their whole church that we were working with, the Passion for the Souls, it's all military themed, it's all soldiers. That's why these are their church shirts, like they give out to their pastors and the leaders. So I'm privileged to wear it and representing that church that's doing such an amazing work in a really tough area in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. But as I mentioned, it's we're all called to be soldiers. And before we jump into the text, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for speaking to each one of us. God, we thank you that you're a living God, the one that we can worship, one that we can talk to, one that we can hear from speaking to us. God, so I pray that each and every person here and each person listening online would hear you today. God, let it not just be my words, but let it be your words that pierce each and every one of our hearts as you draw us closer to our calling to be soldiers in your army. And may you receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, there's 6 points today. We're going to clip along through each of these points. What I want you to do is to take one of these points for each day this week. This is a devotional for you. You want to take one of these each day. There's going to be verses with each one. You can dig into all the context. You can dig in to understand what is God trying to speak to me with each day and each one of these points. All the way up to next Sunday, we're going to be beginning a new series titled Come and See. All about the invitations of Jesus, all about how we can be more outward focused, not just inward focused. But here's 6 points we're going to go through today. Remember our position, equip for battle, surrender to our commander, continually train, understand the battle is spiritual, and embrace the call to be a soldier for Christ. That first point, remember our position in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3, it starts, it says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. See, this is amazing verses. Verse 3 and 4, it comes right after verse 2. That wasn't that amazing, but that's how the Bible works, right? So, but what's verse 2? What was happening in verse 2 is when Paul is instructing Timothy to take and teach these things that you've seen, that I've learned, I'm giving to you, now you go teach them to other people. And the very next verse is endure suffering along with me. Be a good soldier for Christ Jesus. It's like, wait, what? How about that whole, like, let's just pray and love one another and have food together and fellowship? That's what I thought you meant by the 2 Timothy 2:2. It was like, we're going to teach all these nice things. He's like, yeah, but endure suffering along with me. I believe there's something about enduring suffering that we must learn and relearn how to teach other people as well. To teach how to endure suffering. Let me ask, how have you grown the most in your life? Is it the good times or the bad times? Typically, it's the bad times, it's the pain, it's the suffering, it's the loss that grows us the most, that strengthens us, that grounds us, that draws us closer to God. You know, to be honest, a lot of times, I don't think in America we think we need God a whole lot because things are going pretty well. Even with gas prices, even with stuff going on, it's like things are still somewhat okay. I can go to work, go home, go to bed, eat dinner, do it all again the next day. I don't really feel like people in the United States need God on a daily basis that much. Now hear me, we do. We just don't realize it, or we take them for granted. He's saying, learn how to endure suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. Don't get tied up in the things of the world. See, this, what happens when a soldier gets tied up in civilian affairs usually results in insubordination or a phrase called AWOL. AWOL stands for absent without official leave. They're not where they're supposed to be. Many Christians are not where they're supposed to be. They're not in the house. They're outside and being partaking of things of the world. But AWOL and insubordination are not things you want to do. So how do we not do those? We must stay consumed and tied up with things of Jesus, not of the world. One of the sad truths today is much of the church, especially the American church, I'm talking big picture, big C church, you can't tell the difference between the church and the rest of the world. And realizing we should be set apart. We should be holy, which means set apart, different, distinguishably different than the rest of the world. So I think a fair question to ask all of us individually is, do I stand out versus all my friends who maybe are part of the world or my family members who don't proclaim the follow Jesus? We should stand out. Remembering our position is not that of in the world, but that of in the kingdom of heaven. That we are all called to be in the army of God. We must remember our position according to Galatians 5, verse 1. He says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again to slavery to the law. You know, Christianity is not just a religion. In fact, I'd even go as far as say it's really not a religion, it's relationship. Think about every other world religion, every other thing that's out there you could follow, it's works-based. It's me, me, me. Instead, Christianity is all God, God, God. It's all he did it. This is his church. We are his people. It's his sacrifice. It's his freedom that we get to partake of. It's his spirit. I can't earn salvation. I can't earn heaven. I can't earn anything that God gives me, yet he gives it freely if we choose to accept it. No other religion can say that. No other religion can you be saved because of what somebody else did on your behalf. Only Christianity, only as followers of Christ can we remember our position is not look at me, but I can stay free. We can stay free, not getting tied up and caught up with slavery and the law. That's being religious minded, being good works minded, being just someone who wants to do good deeds, but not having that life and life abundantly that Jesus promised us. Not having the Holy Spirit unction within us. When we get that, there's passion, there's freedom, there's joy, there's life in all circumstances that comes when we truly grasp a hold of why am I staying, how do I stay free? It's only because of what Christ has done. The second point here, equip for battle. Equip for battle, Ephesians 6. I'm not going to read the whole verses there, but I want you to write these down. You can study this yourself. The full armor of God. If you've been in church very long, you've probably heard of this. The full armor of God. Well, one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is making us think that he's not real. Or making us think that we're not in a battle. Right? Because if you don't realize you're in a war, you're not going to be fighting the war. You're not going to be fighting the enemy. Right? It's one of the greatest tricks of the enemy. But recognizing why would God say in his word to prepare for battle, to equip for battle, to put on the full armor of God if we're not in a battle? Because the reality is we are. If you don't believe that there's evil and we're in a spiritual war, look around at what's happening. Look at what happened in Texas last week. Look at what, there's no other explanation than there is pure evil in this world that's come to kill, steal, and destroy. We got to wake up, church, that we're not just playing games. We're not just playing church. We're in a spiritual war. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. Those are not nice terms. We got to stop saying, devil, would you please, if you don't mind, just leave them alone for a little bit. We say, get out in Jesus' name. We bind the enemy and we cast them out by the authority of the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not my strength. It's not your strength. It's God's strength that's able to bind and cast out every evil thing. We must equip for battle. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes that are the good news of peace. Take up the shield of faith. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit and be offensive with the enemy. That's what it means to be put on the full armor of God. To stand against them, not in flesh and blood, but to fight in the Spirit, to battle in the Spirit. We must be ready so that we don't have to get ready. By the time you realize you're in a war, it's oftentimes too late. There's damage that's already been done. What if we realize we're in a war now? Let's get ready now. How do we get ready? We have opportunities for you to be equipped. Men's night coming up next Sunday, in 7 days from today, men's night are gathering together at each campus right here at North Braddock and all the other campuses. Men are going to gather together. Why do we do this? Not just to have nachos and tacos and food, which we will have, by the way. But we're getting together to be equipped for battle, to recognize we can't be passive anymore. We need to stand up and fight. Fight not just for ourselves, but for our family, for our country, for our churches. That's why we fight. That's why we equip for battle. The Pittsburgh mission trip. Let me make sure this is clear. Pittsburgh mission trip, June 16th to 18th. It's in 2.5 weeks. Newsflash, June seems like it's still so far away. It's next week. It's this week. It's starting soon. Pittsburgh mission trip is going to be a time for you to be equipped and trained to go do spiritual warfare. Not to go kill people, but to go kill the enemy, to go kick him out, to liberate and save people, to rescue those who are in bondage. Pittsburgh mission trip, you must sign up to go, though. Why wouldn't you go? To equip for battle, to really make an eternal difference. We must be equipped. We must be trained. We must know our weapons and know how to use them. Third point in our word rescue is surrender to our commander. Joshua 24:15. Joshua's speaking to the Israelites. He says, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Give a little context. He's actually speaking to them saying, are you going to serve the gods of your ancestors? Are you going to serve the gods of the world? I think it's applicable to ask ourselves, are we going to serve the gods of a political party? The gods of money, of materialism, of Hollywood, of Washington, D.C.? What gods are we serving? The reality is, whatever you're putting time, attention, and money to, you're serving and worshiping to some level. Instead of saying, I'm going to have a resolve that for me and my family, even if you're a family of one, you have that resolve that I'm going to serve the Lord. We are going to serve the Lord. We're going to surrender to our commander. You know, that word surrender often has negative connotations, right? Like, what comes to mind when you think of the word surrender? You lost. You've given up, right? That we've been defeated. It's you put your hands up to surrender when you're caught, when you're trapped, when you're going to go be arrested. But when you surrender to God, that's victory. Amen. The kingdom of God is so opposite of the world that when we surrender to God, there's victory. There's a win. We gain. We don't lose. We're not lost. We're found. When we surrender to our commander, when we surrender to Jesus, it's the best place to be. I'm not in control of my life. God, you are. You are my commander. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. And I just follow and obey. It's a beautiful thing. It's so freeing. It's so freeing when you really can let go of control of your life. I believe that's a word for someone here to say, let go. I'm trying to hold on, trying to have control over everything. Let go and let God. It's not just cliche. It's true. Let go and let God have the reins. Let him command your life. It'll change everything. And what better commander to have than Jesus Christ? Not only has he proven himself worthy based on what he's done, he's told us what he's going to do in the future. Revelation 19, Jesus returns, not as a benevolent sacrifice for us, but as a conquering king, as our commander. Verse 16, it says, on his robe, at his thigh, was written this title: King of all kings, Lord of all lords. He's not just a king or not just a lord. He is the king of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. That's our commander. That's who we follow. The verses leading up to that, verse 11 says he's a rider on a white horse. Verse 12, his eyes are like flames of fire. On his head are many crowns. Many crowns, because he's a king of all kings. He's above them all. Verse 13, his robe is dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. Verse 14 says that the armies of heaven follow him on white horses. That's us. That's the followers of Jesus. We're with him in the end. This big battle that's ensuing, it says the beast and the great prostitute and all the enemies of God are face to face, and we're with him. And what happens? Out of his mouth comes a sword. It says that he strikes down the nations. He strikes them down. We don't even have to fight. We just got to be with them in victory, celebrating with him. That's our commander. That's our commander. Why would you want to serve anybody else? We see in the end we win. We know in the end we win. I want to be on that team. So we remember our position. We equip for battle. We surrender to our commander. And we continually train. Continually train. Psalm 144. It says, praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. See, God's not just training us for physical battle. He's not training us to fight against flesh and blood, but to fight in the spirit. And he's not calling God a rock, like he's not in the natural. God's not a sedentary piece of the ground. No, no, he's his rock. He's his refuge. He's his strong fortress. He's his rescuer. That applies to us as the rest of Psalm 144, when you read it, he lists out all these different things that the Lord is. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my refuge, my safety, and my rescuer. He's training us for spiritual battle. But what happens if you don't train? What happens when you don't train for something? Maybe you used to do something. Any of you ever like do a sport a long time ago? And maybe you try that sport again and you're not training? You've lost your edge a little bit, right? Trust me, I played football for 12 years. And I was throwing the football around yesterday. I'm like, man, I'm a little out of it. I don't have my arm like I used to have anymore. You know, because I'm not training. I'm not throwing the football around on a consistent basis. The same thing happens spiritually. What happens when you do train? You keep your edge. You stay sharp. You stay in shape so that you can compete and battle in the spirit. It's not just the physical. It's in the spiritual. That we're being trained in the spiritual. That's why the men's night and the Pittsburgh mission trip are ways for you to continually train, to stay sharp, to learn from one another. As iron sharpens iron, we must stay sharp together. Again, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Amen. The Lord trains us spiritually. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, great verse, great couple short verses that can change your life. I remember when I first read these and it changed the way I looked at life. It says, always be joyful. When should you be joyful? Always. Always be joyful. Three little words that I remember when I first read those, that I recall reading those years ago. It hit me of like, I'm not always joyful. Often I walk around and I'm miserable, I'm sad, my face just tells everyone to stay away. Instead of like, no, he says, always be joyful. That doesn't mean there's bad things gonna happen. There's grief, there's loss, there's mourning. But you can actually have joy in the mourning. Joy in the grief, joy in the loss. God's word tells us we can be always joyful. He wouldn't tell us to do something that we couldn't do. Always be joyful, no matter what the circumstance. In fact, he says, never stop praying. Be thankful in how many circumstances? All circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ Jesus, then we should be always joyful. Never stop praying and be thankful in all circumstances. Now, I don't imagine every one of us is just going to start doing this, but we should desire to do this. We should desire to always be joyful, to never stop praying, and to be thankful in all circumstances. Listen, last week, my dad had a heart attack. I got the call in the middle of the night, and they said he's being rushed to the hospital. My stepmom called me, and I said, I'm on my way. It was up in Erie, and you know, he ended up needing a quadruple bypass surgery, open heart surgery, but I never lost my joy. I never stopped being thankful in all circumstances, and I didn't stop praying, and actually, I thank everyone here who was praying, those of you who knew about it and was praying for him, keep praying for him. He's doing well. He's recovering well physically, still working on the spiritual side of him, but you know, to always have that joy, and I remember going to the hospital, I'm like, I don't have this fear about it. I don't have this worry. I just know it's in God's hands. I'm going to pray. I'm going to share verses with them. I'm going to offer truth to them. But it's in God's hands. And to still be thankful in all circumstances. This can change your life. It'll change your life. If we can truly stay always joyful, always thankful. But a lot of us often can get consumed with things of this world. Worries, anxiety, fear, doubt. All these things come. And it's okay that they come. It's what you do with them when they do. It's what happens when you do feel a little anxious, a little short of breath, like you're going to have a panic attack. What you do next will change everything about your projection. Either we stay and hold on to those, or we can say, God, I need you right now. God, I need you right now because I can't do this on my own. Again, letting go, giving over control to God. It's not just in the natural, but it's spiritual. And we must understand the battle is spiritual. The battle is spiritual. According to Ephesians 6, referenced this earlier, it's part of the full armor of God. It says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time somebody irritated you? Caused you angst? Maybe got you up. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look. I didn't just say today, but eyes up here. Eyes up here. Focus. When was the last time somebody bothered you, right? Or irritated you or even caused you pain? To go to the level of even saying, they're not your enemy. They're not your enemy. People are never the enemy. They can do hurtful things. They can cause us pain. They can cause us suffering, but they're still not the enemy. And if you're like, I don't know. Jesus said, pray for your enemies anyway, so you have to do the right thing. Right? We need to pray and love people. Jesus came to this earth. Even while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. Romans 5:8. Even while we were sinners, which means we were enemies of God, he still came and gave his life for us. How much more should we love people? We're not perfect, yet Jesus, who is perfect, came and died for us. How much more should we love people and see that they're not the enemy? We do have a real enemy. His name is Satan. He's the devil, his dominion, his followers, the fallen angels. They are the enemy. And we battle, like the verse here, 6:12 says, the rulers and authorities, the mighty powers and the evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's not people. The battle is spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10 says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We don't wage war as humans do. How do humans wage war? Again, turn the TV on. They use guns and bombs and planes and tanks and things of this world. But we, even though we're humans, we use God's mighty weapons. God's mighty weapons, it says, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Everything that comes against people knowing God, we have the ability to fight against, to destroy everything that keeps people from knowing God. Now, how we do that, we can talk about it. How we go about that, what our approach is, but we must remember we use God's mighty weapons. We don't stop people physically unless there's actual physical harm, we can, but we use God's mighty weapons. We pray for people. We pray, we lift them up to God saying, God, I can't fix this person, you need to. God, I can't reach and change this person's life, you need to. God, I don't know what to do, but God, you do. You know every thought, every inner working of their being. God, will you reach these people? And then we also remember to examine our own heart. Say, God, fix inside of me, change me, transform my heart, my mind, so that I can be the most effective for your kingdom. We destroy all the lies of the enemy, all the stuff that's being taught in our schools. We can stand for truth. We can stand for truth that you are a male or a female, period. You can't choose your gender. That's something that's destroying people from knowing God. We can stand and speak truth in love and say, I know you feel this way, but I love you so much that I'm not going to let you keep going down this road. I'm going to help you see the truth. I'm going to help you know what God's word says, that God has created you for a purpose and a reason, and that's not it. We have the ability to destroy the things that people, that the enemy is speaking to them, and it says to teach them to obey Christ. The last point here is embrace the call to be a soldier for Christ, to truly embrace it. Not just to dabble in it, not just to touch, dip our toes in, but to really embrace the call. To be a soldier for Christ, usually when you're enlisted, you're in it. There's not like a couple days a week or a couple hours a week. You are a soldier. You're always a soldier. You're going to be a soldier, even those of you stood up, that you are still a soldier. You were trained. There's something about you that makes you a soldier. And we're all called to be soldiers for Christ. In John 20, it says, but these are written, talking about this book. He says, the reason I wrote this book, John wrote this, all the miraculous works. He said, these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. The power of his name. You see, a soldier doesn't go to war on their own power. A soldier doesn't show up on foreign soil and say, look at me, I'm here to fight. No, no. Soldiers go with the power and the authority of the nation and government that they're representing. That's what usually the flag or badge on the uniform. It represents, I'm part of a bigger picture. I'm part of something bigger than me. The whole. There's power in the whole. God's church, there's power in the whole. The church is the bride of Christ. And there's power in his name. In his name that he puts on us. You know the name Christians? We're little Christ. We're representations of him. That's the badge we wear. That's the badge we put on ourselves. We are followers of Jesus. And there's power in that name. Not because look at me, but look at us. Look at us because God's power is among us. Not just us individually, but together there's more power, there's more strength, and there's more might because the great commander is Jesus. We follow him. Philippians 3:8. You know, when we really embrace the call to be a soldier for Christ, when we really, really grab a hold of this, not just mentally, but where it really starts to seep into our hearts, where God's word and what we're looking at really begins to penetrate our hearts, you realize that everything else is worthless in comparison to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. As Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Everything else this world has to offer is worthless compared to knowing Jesus. It's worthless in comparison. He considers it all garbage that I'd rather gain Christ than to gain the whole world and lose my soul. I think a lot of us get to that place where like, I know Jesus. Yeah, him and I are friends. And we don't do anything more with it. It's like we sign the contract to go to basic training, but then we never actually go. Or we maybe go a little bit and we don't continue to go. We don't continue to grow. And Jesus is saying, I don't just want a little bit of you. I just don't want your Sunday morning. I want your whole life. I want you to enlist. Just as 2 Timothy says, we please the officer who enlisted us. Jesus has enlisted us. He's called us to join his army. He's called us to be a part of his army, to not just to go and kill the enemy. You see, military doesn't go just to kill the enemy, doesn't go just to kill people, but it goes to rescue people. That's the 6 points. The first letter of each one spells the word rescue. We don't go to war. We don't fight in battle just to kick the devil in the teeth, even though that's fun. Amen? To cast out some demons, that's good. But really, the real reason is so that we can rescue people. So that we can be anointed, as Luke 4 says in Isaiah 61, that we can be anointed to set the captives free, to release the prisoners, to lift those who are heavy burdened and in bondage, to set people free from themselves many times, from their past, from their sin, from wrong thinking, from false arguments. We have the ability to rescue people. And let me be very clear, we don't save anybody on our own. Only God can truly save, but he chooses to use us. He uses us as his soldiers to go and rescue people who are oppressed, who are afflicted, who are terrorized by the enemy. We get the privilege and the ability to go rescue people from themselves. Jesus says he came to give life, and life abundantly, eternal life. Holy Spirit comes to give us love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and gentleness, self-control. He comes to give us such good things. Maybe here today and you say, I like this idea. I want to go rescue people, but I need rescued myself. Let today be the day that you said, I gave my life to Jesus. I truly surrendered to him as my commander. Not just this mental thought of Jesus, you know Jesus was real, that he died on the cross, but now he died for your sins. He died so you could be enlisted in the army of God. Would you all please stand to your feet? See, we are called to be soldiers for Christ. Not because we're better than anybody else. Not because we have special talents, gifting, or ability, but rather, Jesus said his strength, God's strength, is made great in our weakness. That we highlight how good and how great and how faithful God is in our weakness. I know how weak I am. I know how inadequate I am. But I know how good my God is, that he is more than enough. If you're here today and you say, I feel weak. I'm looking at my failures. I'm looking at my flaws. I can't do anything right. I can't do anything good. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's standing here saying, come to me. Respond to me. I can help you. Not just make you a little better, not just add a little good to your bad, but I can move you from death to life. If you're here today and you say, I need that. I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to surrender to him as the forgiver of my past, and I'm gonna follow him as the leader for the rest of my life. I invite you today to make the day that Jesus became your command. I'm gonna pray for you. All you have to do is stretch out your hand. You say, I wanna make today the day that I surrender to Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Slip up your hand. I'm gonna pray for you. Invite everybody, if you just say, I want to go out, not just to defeat the enemy, but I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to embrace the call to be a soldier for Christ. So just lift up your hands, and I want to pray for you. That you want to go rescue those who are oppressed by the enemy. Father God, I thank you. God, first of all, that you rescued each one of us. God, I thank you that we couldn't save ourselves, but you came even while we were sinners and died for us. God, that you made a way for us to truly be free. God, I thank you. God, I pray that we'd be so focused on rescuing others, so focused not on our problems, but on other people. God, that we'd always be joyful, that we'd never stop praying, and we'd be thankful in all circumstances. God, use us, equip us, train us, and send us to go and rescue as many people as possible. For your kingdom and for your name's sake. And God, we pray in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Pastor Tom.